Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day despite the not so great ongoing hysteria about the latest police shooting in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. I shouldn't even say the latest because that makes it sound like, well, this happens all the time. It's just normal. It is extraordinarily rare. It is a very, very small percentage, not only of encounters with police officers, but it's a very, very small percentage of those young black males who die of violence. The overwhelming percentage of young black males, actually black males of any age, who die of violence do not die at the hands of police. They die at the hands of criminals. How do I know that? Well, for one thing, I've read The War on Cops, which came out 5 years ago. It was a big New York Times bestseller. It's an indispensable book because it forces Americans to look at the realities of police work. The author is with us. Her name is Heather McDonald. You've heard her on the show many times before. She is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a contributing editor of City Journal and a New York Times best-selling author. Heather, I'm glad to speak to you. Not so happy about the circumstances. How do we get to see that the public and the media that serve the public begin to present issues like this in a more complete perspective?
Because thank you for having me on, Michael. People like you have to just get the data out there. The public has been completely hoodwinked into believing that there's an epidemic of racially biased shootings of black men. The media refuses to acknowledge the reality of the astronomical levels of black-on-black crime. It is crime, not race, that drives police activity. The police are much more likely to be engaged with armed, violent, and resisting suspects that might lead them to use, to escalate their own use of force in black communities. Why? Because that's who's committing crime and that's who's being victimized. They've got to tell the truth about the fact that it turns out that the police are a greater threat to whites and Hispanics than they are to blacks. 10% of all white and Hispanic homicide victims are killed by a cop versus 3% of black homicide victims who are killed by a cop. There were 15 so-called unarmed blacks who were fatally shot last year by a police officer. I say so-called because this is a category developed by the Washington Post in its database of police shootings. They categorize unarmed in the most generous way possible in order to try to get the numbers up. So if you're beating an officer, you're struggling to grab an officer's gun in order to shoot him, you count as unarmed. If you're fleeing a cop with a loaded semi-automatic pistol in the seat next to you, you count in the Washington Post as a passive, pacific, unarmed black male. That those 15, compare them to what is likely going to be probably close to 9,000 blacks who were killed by other blacks last year in these insane drive-by shootings. That's less than 1%. It's 0.1 or 0.5% of all blacks who die of homicide are unarmed and killed by a cop. We also have to call out the media on their absolute blindness to any officer use of force against a white male. You know, we're now facing the country possibly burning to the ground if the jury does not convict on most or all counts in the Derek Chauvin trial. Well, nobody in this country knows about Tony Timpa. This was a white guy who died at police hands in 2016 in Dallas under circumstances that completely adumbrated the George Floyd incident. He called the police saying, I'm schizophrenic, I'm off my medication, I need help. The police showed up. He'd already been put in handcuffs by a store owner. He was on the ground in handcuffs with the officers holding him down. 30 times he said, I can't breathe, I'm dying. He died. They were meanwhile joking about his mental state while holding him down. When they finally loaded him onto an ambulance, one of them said, gee, I hope he's not dead already. Nobody knows Tony Timpa's name because he doesn't fit the narrative. And yet we're about to possibly face a complete conflagration because of the narrative that George Floyd is somehow emblematic of the way black males.
Again, I think part of what you're talking about is inarguably true, is the numbers actually do show that, and tell me if this is still correct, that first of all, the 15 number that you just gave, is that the total number of unarmed black suspects who died at police hands or black citizens who died at police hands in the last year?
In 2020. Right? Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Not great. I mean, it's terrible. But how many people who are not black, who would be identified as white or any other ethnicity, died at in confrontations with police? Do you know?
In the unarmed category, it was 21 whites. Overall, 1,000 people, this has been remarkably consistent since 2015 when the Washington Post started its database, 1,000 people a year are fatally shot by a police officer. Over 50% of those 1,000 victims are white. Blacks are about 25% of the victims of fatal police shooting. The vast majority of all those, both white and black, are armed, violent, resisting. Here's how you avoid getting shot by the police. Do not resist arrest. End of story. That's all you need to do. The number of people who are not resisting arrest, it has happened. It's been tragic, but it's one hand can count them. But the 25% black number is higher than the black population, which is 12%. But when you account for violent crime rates, that disparity goes away completely and ends up in the other ledger, that whites are actually shot more than their violent crime rate would predict. Blacks are shot less than their violent crime rate would predict.
And when you talk about a violent crime rate, the overwhelming majority of white victims are killed by white people, and the overwhelming majority of black victims are killed by black people, or putting it the other way. If you're recording murder perpetrators who are people of color, the chances are it is within whatever population group you're measuring. Let me ask you this.
Yes and no. Yes and no. That's true, but there is still a vast disparity in interracial violence. Blacks are much, much more likely to kill whites than whites to kill blacks. If you look at the entire universe of black on white and white on black interracial violence, blacks commit 88% of all interracial violence between blacks and whites. Whites, 12%. So, you know, that blacks are under lethal threat from white supremacy is a complete lie. If a black guy is walking down the street and he sees five white youth walking towards him, he really doesn't have much grounds for fear. But given what the family breakdown is in the inner city and what the crime rate is among these young black males with no fathers who've not been socialized, if you're a white person walking down the street and you see five black males, it is not irrational to be a bit concerned. That doesn't mean that every black person is a criminal. By no means. There are thousands of law-abiding, black residents who just deserve freedom from fear, who are trying to get on with their lives, make the best of their opportunities. But the crime disparities in this country are massive, and nobody wants to talk about them.
Okay, you do. And by the way, it's not just thousands. It's the overwhelming majority. Americans, black and white and everything else, want to be safe from criminals who are in a different situation. Heather McDonald's information posted on our website at michaelmedved.com, including some of her most recent comments. We'll be right back on The Medved Show. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast. 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Michael Medved Show, still talking about the the very real fears which Heather McDonald mentioned just moments ago about what happens if Derek Chauvin is either faces... By the way, I think the idea of acquittal, I don't think he'll be acquitted on anything. But there's a difference between acquittal and basically a mistrial, which means the jury can't decide. It can't vote unanimously. And if Derek Chauvin is judged on either third-degree murder or second-degree murder to not be convicted, then what does happen in the country? And what is the role of our leadership regarding some of the reaction? And, of course, this is perfectly timed, of course, with the weather being warmer and going back to the same time of year where the George Floyd tragic death happened initially. The entire thing is very scary, and it, if you talk about impacting the country politically, economically, in terms of the sense of confidence and well-being that people can have in this country, it's incredibly important to put this in context. I think the most important number that Heather gave was that in 2020, a year when there were about 18,000 Americans who died in some kind of gun death. First of all, the majority of those people died of suicides. And of the people who died in violent confrontations, 15 were unarmed black males in confrontation with police officers. And some of those people who struggled with police officers, as George Floyd did, he should certainly not have died, and as Dante Wright did most recently. It's extraordinarily important to put this into perspective. And part of what prevents it from gaining any kind of perspective is the media focus on precisely these kinds of cases because of the high public interest, the high risk of riot, the high risk of activist exaggeration, which occurs and is a very real problem. If we had a couple of plane crashes, God forbid, 1,000 times, certainly don't want that to happen. But there would be very, very lavish coverage if there were two. People would be talking about, that's basically what happened to the Boeing MAX. They had those two different plane crashes abroad, and the entire program was put on hold because it was considered to be a trend. We don't expect planes to crash. We don't expect police officers to kill civilians accidentally or purposefully or for any reason. We don't expect it. So when it occurs, it gets a great deal of attention, particularly if the victim is black right now, because that fits a popular narrative. But I am struck by the fact that there has been so little media attention about the shooting, fatal shooting of a teenager yesterday in Knoxville, Tennessee, by a police officer. Now, I don't know whether the armed gunman who fired at police officers in on a high school campus was black or white. And it shouldn't matter. But that kind of encounter is vastly more likely, by every measure and every record, where a police officer is fired upon and fires back. That is far more likely and far more frequent than the death of what, again, I think Heather McDonald is right to classify as the very loose distinction of unarmed suspects. Last night, the a protester said to CNN when they were covering the riots, and yes, there was looting that went on and attacks on police officers, and this was what the protester insisted, clip 7. Listen.
You look there. Now you can see. Now you can see.
See, y'all be twisting up the story.
You want to talk to me? You want to talk to me? Okay, cool. Now, don't take my mic.
I'll
but
talk.
We're cool.
I'll
okay.
Talk. Go
what is your, what's your name?
What's my name? My name is my name.
All right. So tell me what you think about what's going
what
on here.
What I think
here.
About this yeah. is all the press and all the extra y'all do makes this worse.
You think so?
Yes.
Me?
When people want to protest,
yeah.
they shouldn't do it in front of the police. This, yeah. Courthouse. Like that. You get what I'm saying?
I want you to be careful. I want you to be careful. I really
of
do.
What?
Of anything that can
of
hit
what?
You. Of anything that can hit you. Look at
of
all the stuff. Of this.
Of what?
Of this.
Do it look like I'm scared?
No, you don't.
Do it look like I'm scared?
You don't.
Exactly. Y'all need to get up out of here with all that twisting up the media.
Okay. You don't know me, but we
don't know
you. We're going to get to know each other. That's
you're
what we're going
to know each other.
Yes,
huh?
We are.
Let's
we
do.
Are. We are.
How are you
going to
know me?
I'm going to
go
to the top. I'm going to share
yeah,
a number with you. All right, let's do it.
No, let's do it right
let's
here.
Let's do it. All right, here's my phone. Let's
no,
go ahead and share
my
number.
Talk about something that's real.
Tell me what's
y'all
real.
Y'all just going to edit out this.
We're live. We're live.
Y'all going to edit out some
we're live
we're
right
not
now.
Live.
I'm live right now.
I don't care if you live or not.
Okay,
get away from here
this.
With all that media
this
that y'all doing.
Right now.
Look.
We're with CNN.
Then take that camera all the way up there then.
We are going up there. That's
take it all the way
you
up there.
Us.
Y'all doing all that for the backhand to make people look all crazy than what they are. All
right, then you watch us because look where we're going.
Yeah, it's kind of easy to blame the media, but... If they're in the midst of having a riot, what are they supposed to ignore it? The coverage on MSNBC had to be interrupted last night because a demonstrator started, using language that the FCC disapproves. This is clip five.
Are you going to stay out here all night? Or what's the plan here all night?
I'm going to do what needs to be done.
What's that? What do you just
say? Be here for my people.
Get the police
exactly.
down from our community.
However long that takes, be here for my people.
Does anybody, do any of you know Dante and the family very well?
No,
does anybody?
Get out!
Rachel, you heard all that. Some of it rational and obviously some of it very angry and passionate. That's been built up.
Police!
Police!
Okay, what do you want to see happen?
What do I want to say?
What do you want to see happen?
I want to see. All right.
No, I got it.
Got the microphone.
I got it.
I want these.
Okay.
Stop killing innocent black people. No. They want peace.
Okay.
And then they
but
get
I'm mad. We're just going to cut in because we have a responsibility in terms of the language, and I'm sorry to have to cut in on you there, Ron, but there's certain things that we can broadcast and there's certain things that we can't. Obviously, this is live footage, and we do apologize for the language that you just heard there, but...
Okay. The language, however, what I thought was interesting was saying that we hear a lot of opinions, some of them rational and some of them very passionate. Okay, so where do we go from here? And what is the political impact, particularly with a presidential election coming up, I hear tell? Yeah, it's 4 years from now. Actually, 3.5. We'll get to that coming up on the Mednick Show.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Pentagon is holding off giving the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine to members of the military. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby saying the military is following the guidance of the FDA and CDC as far as regarding vaccines, President Biden saying at the White House,
I made sure we have 600 million doses of the mRNA, not of either Johnson & Johnson and or AstraZeneca. So there's enough vaccine that is basically 100% unquestionable for every single solitary American.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is suing the Biden administration to reinstate the Remain in Mexico policy. The lawsuit argues protocols are needed to curb the criminal and humanitarian crisis at the border. This is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
From politics to pop culture and from coast to coast, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there was a little bit of back and forth concerning President Biden and his ability to handle the massive charges of massive challenges of his office. And Senator John Cornyn, who I greatly admire, I think he's a very good guy and a useful senator, did a very strange thing, which I don't think helps the Republican side. I don't think it helps Senator Cornyn. He attacked President Biden because of his tweets. Now, has President Biden received a lot of coverage because of his tweets? Well, not really. Certainly, one of the reasons that hasn't been a great deal of coverage is, yes, because they have been kind of boring. I think deliberately so. There's no question at all that President Trump made a lot of trouble for himself with some of his more colorful tweets. But here was a report on what Senator John Cornyn of Texas said about Biden's bland tweets, indicating that the president isn't genuinely in charge. This is clip 10.
Senator John Cornyn called Joe Biden's tweets unimaginably conventional and said that his comments were largely scripted and questioned whether he was really in charge. Does the White House have any reaction to that?
Well, I can confirm that the President of the United States does not spend his time tweeting conspiracy theories. He spends his time working on behalf of the American people.
Okay, I think that Jen Psaki, who often has a very rough time with her press briefing, she wins that one. The idea that Biden's tweets are bland and unimaginably conventional, That I don't think is something that the American people are going to react angrily to. Nor will many people react angrily to this. Nikki Haley is one of the early front runners for 2024. Of course, the most prominent front runner, the one who is ahead in all the polls, if you ask Republicans who they'd like to see as the nominee, is right now is President Trump. And she was asked as to whether she would support President Trump if he runs again. Increasingly, people close to the former president are saying, no, he won't run in 2024. I have a large piece in Commentary magazine in their April month about what history shows about former presidents who have actually lost a race for re-election and their occasional success, not in reaching the presidency again. Only Grover Cleveland did that. But a number of other presidents, including Andrew Johnson, who the House impeached and the Senate acquitted, including John Quincy Adams, who lost in a landslide when he ran for re-election. They both got elected to, in John Quincy Adams' case, the House. In Andrew Johnson's case, the Senate. And there's a great deal of talk about whether or not President Trump will go through with what he has broadly hinted, which is he'll be a candidate in 2024. Here's Nikki Haley on the question of whether she would support the former president in a bid to regain the White House. Clip 9.
He still has a lot of popularity. If he runs again in 2024, will you support him?
Yes.
If he decides that he's going to run, would that preclude any sort of run that you would possibly make yourself?
I would not run as President Trump ran. And I would talk to him about it. You know, that's something that we'll have a conversation about at some point if that decision is something that has to be made. But, yeah, I would absolutely. I had a great working relationship with him. I appreciated the way he let me do my job. I thought we did some fantastically great foreign policy things together. And, look, I just want to keep building on what we accomplished and not watch it get more.
Okay, I'm not sure that this works for Ambassador Haley, for Governor Haley, because what it indicates is that she believes the country would do better with another term of Donald Trump. She believes the Republican Party would do better with Donald Trump on the ballot again in 2024 at age 78. And yes, he would be 78. He'd be the same age that Joe Biden is right now. And that it seems to me, takes away a lot of her potential attraction to people who would like to see a fresh, more positive start for the Republican Party. And particularly because there's one aspect of President Trump, and it came across over the weekend when he spoke to a Republican fundraising meeting in Mar-a-Lago. And they interviewed a lot of the people who went to the meeting who actually paid money and are paying money to support President Trump. Very worried about the fact that if he runs again, he would make as a major theme of his campaign the idea that this was a stolen election, the idea that he actually won, a defense of the at least good intentions of people trying to defend or explain what happened on January 6th. All of that is toxic for President Trump. If he emphasizes those issues, I don't think he will be the nominee. Jen Psaki was also asked at her press briefing this morning about vaccine hesitancy among so many white evangelicals, Trump supporters, most of them, of course, and other conservatives. Here's what she said about White House efforts to reach those people with the vaccine.
members of our COVID team from Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins participate in a range of media interviews. You know, an example is Dr. Collins participated in the 700 Club. Dr. Nunez-Smith hosted a Faith Leaders Roundtable. We're also looking for, we've run PSAs on The Deadliest Catch. We're engaged with NASCAR and Country Music TV. We're looking for a range of creative ways to get directly connected to white conservative communities. We won't always be the best messengers, but we're still trying to meet people where they are, but also empower local organizations.
Okay. I know that there's a sense here that this is patronizing and insulting, the idea that all evangelicals who are resistant to the COVID-19 injections are listening to the 700 Club or the Deadliest Catch TV show or NASCAR country music. There, it's like the whole idea of what Barack Obama said in that fundraiser in Pennsylvania way back in 2008, where he said there are a lot of Americans who are clutching desperately to their Bibles and their guns. This is a stereotype, but at least it's a recognition that if you're going to have a successful rollout of the vaccine and a real turnaround in terms of the pandemic, you have to reach people who are not necessarily going to be watching MSNBC. Or for that matter, maybe not watching most of what's on CBS or NBC either. And that's at least something. Speaking of something, there is an amazing piece by a woman of mixed race ancestry. She's British, who is struck by the fact that her exact looks have become very, very fashionable. And she believes that's racist and uncomfortable. Really? Why? Why would she object to people saying, oh, you're so beautiful? Well, we'll get to that strange invocation of racism and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
Become a MedHead member today. Commercial-free podcasts, commentaries, and musings. Find out more at michaelmedved.com.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain.
With new leadership in Washington, D.C., it's abundantly clear that Americans are deeply divided. What does our country even believe anymore? What do we have in common? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. The Institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, religious liberty, freedom of conscience, the family, limited government, free markets, our Judeo-Christian heritage. The Institute for Faith and Freedom is unafraid to support these timeless truths and principles with no apologies. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. You can find all of this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's www.faithandfreedom.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Show, we've already talked about the remarkable anticipation at the upcoming Oscars that it is highly likely, and not even possible, it's likely that all 4 Oscars for acting will go to people of color. 3 black actors and 1 Korean actor. That would be a first. That would be remarkable. But I'm sure if that happens, there will be some commentators out there who describe that as a sign of racism. There's a very peculiar piece in The Guardian. Well, again, I know I shouldn't look at The Guardian as much as I do, but it's like watching a train wreck because they're so far to the left. And they ran a piece by a woman named Natalie Morris, who is doing a book on Mixed Other, it's called, where she interviewed 50 mixed Britons, meaning of mixed racial background, and talking about the idea of beauty. And she says her piece is entitled "Why Celebrating Mixed Race Beauty Has Its Problematic Side." And she begins by saying, "I was insecure about how I looked when I was younger. My hair was frizzy and embarrassingly enormous." Well, that's kind of true for me, too. But she says, "My bum stuck out too much. My lips were too big. My thighs were too big." Then in my early 20s, soon after moving to London from my home in Manchester, I began to notice a shift in how beauty was being represented. Suddenly, faces, hair, and bodies that looked just like mine were plastered on shop windows, grinning down from billboards, smiling with their eyes from the pages of magazines. Every other TV ad featured mixed models or an interracial family. Okay, why is that bad? She explains. White influencers began plumping their lips, baking their skin, braiding their hair, even undergoing invasive surgical procedures to create curves where none existed. The things about myself I had wanted to disguise or alter in my youth were now in vogue, and I struggled to get my head around that. How did it become trendy to look like me? And should I feel pleased about it? Yes, is the answer. She says this growth of racial ambiguity as an aesthetic trend was at least in part accelerated by celebrity culture and the Kardashians. Yeah, blame it all on them. The accusations of blackfishing leveled against that family are well documented, with criticisms about their adoption of black hairstyles, body types, and facial features. The reality TV stars, along with thousands of imitators who came in their wake, have been cherry-picking the elements of blackness that suit their brand without any of the uncomfortable or disadvantageous implications of actually living as black. And then she writes, and that is why it's impossible to see the rise of mixed beauty ideals as a positive thing, because at its heart sits an unsettling insistence on white superiority. Where? See, again, it's impossible not to notice. If you look at both the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and I try to read both papers every day, come out with weekend magazines. They do it, I think, four times a year, once every quarter. They have a glossy fashion magazine that has all the... And again, so many of the models, maybe even a majority, are either people of color or of mixed background or of ambiguous ethnicity. And again, this is basically America trying to move beyond this sick obsession of everything is white versus non-white. I mentioned before there's a Tom Friedman analysis in the New York Times where he talks about the growing majority of non-white people, as if people from India and people from Nigeria and people from Argentina have something in common, because they're all classified as non-white. What exactly do those cultures have in common? Do people necessarily have in common? Well, one thing is that beauty standards, the standards of what we deem attractive and lovely and desirable and sexy, the idea that that is now extended beyond blue-eyed blondes, again, shows that America is moving beyond racial obsession, which we should hope is true. She writes, we are right to be wary of compliments that are not compliments, to push back against this disproportionate interest in how we look. I'm sorry, that's been the case for every race and for humanity for a very long time. Wasn't so long ago that the mixed population was being scrutinized with similar energy, but with an entirely different outcome. Now, that's true. In the 1930s and 1940s in Britain, there were groups warning about the dangers of race crossing. There were calls for mixed people to be sterilized. We were denigrated as deviant, stupid, contaminated, undesirable. Isn't the contemporary idealization of mixedness, the suggestion that we are more beautiful or have the best of both, simply the other side of the same coin? And she says, but being a trend or being commercially popular because of your racialized appearance is never going to be a good thing. Meghan Markle is the most recent example of this. Okay, do people, do you really think that people were focused on Meghan Markle because she idealized somehow someone of mixed race background? I think that most people looking at Meghan Markle and pictures of the royal family, you had to remember or be reminded that she was of mixed race background. Celebrated as a beautiful emblem of the progressive future in the lead up to the royal wedding, the tide quickly turned on her when she was deemed not to be sticking to the script and was instead proud and outspoken about her black heritage. Is that why people turned on her? Because she, how ridiculous. People turned on her because in that stupid interview with Oprah, they both seemed incredibly ungrateful, incredibly unappreciative of all of the blessings they had in life, and particularly now with the mourning for Prince Philip, and I think more appreciation for the royal family and who they are and what they are, this remains the case. The point by this piece by Natalie Morris, it's just that I'm a victim. Don't hate me because I'm mixed race and beautiful. I'm really still a victim. An opposite point of view about triumphing over circumstances is highlighted by a pretty remarkable new movie. And it's one that I think a lot of people may find themselves surprised to enjoy. Listen.
Now it's time for MedBed's Entertainment Minute.
I spent my early childhood in Philadelphia, but I never knew that my hometown boasted a tradition of black cowboys raising, training, and riding their horses in the city of brotherly love. In a lightly fictionalized account of the Fletcher Street Riders, Idris Elba plays a leader of the group whose troubled son, who he hardly knows, comes to live with him after he's expelled from high school in Concrete Cowboy, now streaming on Netflix. I ain't got no home here.
That's your choice. I'm gonna get my money, and I'm gonna get up out of here.
The film is a touching father and son story, but it's also like an old-fashioned western set in North Philadelphia, where a young tenderfoot needs to learn about horses and manhood and values worth dying for. It's rated R for constantly tough language, including profligate use of the N-word and some realistic and disturbing gore and violence. 3 stars. You won't regret it if you ride along with this concrete cowboy. It is an amazing film and an amazing story, and I couldn't help trying to read more about the Fletcher Street Riders, these black cowboys of Philadelphia. And Idris Elba is simply a remarkable actor. He is a Brit, and yet he gives depth and real feeling to a very demanding part. If you don't like horses, and you really don't like horse poop, where there are several scenes involving scooping horse poop, the movie probably should be, could be some hesitation, but it's beautifully done and a great directorial debut for a young director named Rusty Staub. Coming up tomorrow, John Boehner. He did an amazing thing when he was Speaker of the House. He got the left really, really angry at him, and he got the right really, really angry at him. Why? We'll ask him. He has a new book out, which is actually very funny and somewhat shocking. We will talk about that book with John Boehner next time, and a drug lab explodes in an unlikely location with 30 other propane tanks. Where? We'll tell you exactly where next time in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.